Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be together, and I hope you're enjoying this beautiful summer weather that we're having. One thing that I've been doing this summer with my grandson, Rusty, he's been learning to play golf, and on Thursdays, I've been helping him take him to his golf class at the First Tee, it's called. It's a golf program sort of like the Boy Scouts, and so he's been going for his class every Thursday out at Lake Wilderness in Maple Valley area, so he's doing great. And the other day as we were out there having lunch together, he asked me, he said, "Papa, what is your sermon this week?" And I said, "Well, I'm still working on that, thinking about it." And so he said, "Could you do a sermon? How do we know there is a God?" And so today I'm doing that sermon. How do we know there is a God? And Rusty said, "Now, Papa, it's not for me because I know there's a God." He said, "How do we know though? How can we show others, help them to know there is a God?" And I think that is such a wonderful question, and it's a question that is very possibly the most important question that a person can ask, and it is a question that we all must answer ultimately. It is a question that, with many other questions that we have, and rightfully so in life, we are inquisitive people. And we have many questions. Does God exist? And can an intelligent person really believe in God? Well, that is such an important question, and the answer that we give to that question is going to determine who we are, the path of life that we choose. It's going to determine how we view ourselves, and it's going to determine how we treat others around us. What moral responsibility do we have? Because if we answer the question, "God does not exist," then there is no moral responsibility. There's no basis for it. But if we answer the question, "God exists, I believe that God exists, I'm convinced that God exists," then we have moral responsibility. And it tells us that I am made in the image of God, and that my fellow man is also created in the image of God. And I have responsibilities as a result of that. So it is an important question that is going to shape my life and dictate and determine how I live my life. There is no more important question than that. And it's not a question that we can answer by simply looking through a telescope or into a microscope. It is not something that we can necessarily test by the five senses like we can see that this table is here. And we can see it. We can come up and feel it. We can test it. And so we can verify many things in the physical realm with sight and sensory perception. But this question, we cannot verify that way. We cannot answer that question. And the reason for that is that God, by very definition, is a spirit. And spirits are invisible. And God is invisible. So we cannot see God. We cannot confirm or deny the presence of God, the existence of God, through normal physical means. It is a question of evidence. It is a question of deciding examining the evidence and deciding on the basis of that if it is more reasonable to believe, if it makes more sense to believe that God exists or to believe that He does not exist. And I want to say with Rusty that I am convinced God exists, and that in my lifetime I have seen so many abundant evidences all around me that convince me that God exists, and that I want to live my faith, my life by faith in God. But there are many people that are not convinced that God exists. The atheist does not believe. The atheist believes God does not exist. The agnostic does not know. The agnostic says there is not any way. It is not possible to know there is a God. The skeptic is always doubtful that there is a God, and often ridicules those who believe in God. The deist is a person who believes that perhaps there is or was a supreme being at one time who created and who took the universe and wound it up, and it is simply running on its own. That whoever the creator may have been is not an intimate part of the creation at the present time. The pantheist believes that God exists in everything around us, that in the rocks and in the rivers and in the mountains, that God is to be identified with them. God is in nature, and nature is in God. So that everything that we observe is God. There are many people, though, who say, what difference does it make? It is like tossing and flipping a coin. That one way or the other, I'm not going to worry about it. So there are many people today that have not come to a conclusion. They have not seen or examined the evidence to make an intelligent choice. And I want to suggest that belief in God is based on intelligent evidence. It is an intelligent choice, that we are not to make a leap in the dark. We are not to make our faith or choose our faith on the basis of myth or superstition or just because that is what our parents believed. I would recommend strongly to each of us that we do not do that. That we instead make an intelligent examination. And on the basis of that, we decide to believe in God or not to believe in God. But it needs to be our own decision. And we need to make it an intelligent, rational choice based on that evidence. And I believe and want to present the evidence, some of it at least, enough that I believe we can make an intelligent choice based on that evidence. Is man just an intelligent chimpanzee? Is he just an intelligent ape, as some would have us to believe? Or are we created by God? And are we made in the image of God? So that is the choice that we must look at and to make a decision based upon that. And the Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 1 that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So as we look at the universe around us, the psalmist David says that we are able to make an intelligent choice because these declare the glory of God. And I certainly concur and believe that that is true. That we are able, God has left a fingerprint. God has left a tremendous evidence of His existence and His power in the universe that we live in day to day. You know, the Bible does not ever try to make a formal proof that there is a God. It assumes it from the first verse of the Bible that it is self-existent, the existence of God. When it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It is taken as a fact. It is taken as a self-evident truth that God exists and that we are invited to look at the universe and see for ourselves that God created it. How many of us are wearing a watch this morning? Or have, some of us even have a smartwatch. So, did that watch create itself? Is that watch something that happened down at the factory one day? They had an explosion there in the factory, and things blew up. And that is how that watch came into existence. How many of us own a camera? Well, if we have a cell phone, we've got one, right? So, did that camera that is now a part of your cell phone that takes those amazing photos or videos, did that happen by accident? Is that something that just happened to turn out that way? They just accidentally dropped it on the ground, I guess, and all of a sudden there was a camera inside the cell phone. Well, none of us believe that. Whenever you have, you go out in your yard like we do, and we have our firewood, and we cover it up with a tarp. Is that tarp, did it happen by accident? And if so, you have more faith than I do if you can believe that. What about the computer that you use on your home? Was there a designer who created that computer? What about the car that you drove here this morning? And looking at all the systems that are in that car, did it happen on its own? Well, there's so many examples of that that we look in. And yet many people tell us that the human body and the universe that we live in happened as a result of just accidental molecular happenings at some billions of billions of years in the past. Some kind of energy, some kind of chance collection of those molecules and atoms and cells that they came together. And that is how we have the universe and human life on this planet. Well, that does not make sense to me. So in my way of looking at it, and I hope that you'll agree with me, that it makes far more sense to believe that there is a creator who created this world, who created each one of us, than to believe that it all happened by accident. And whenever we think about faith in God, it is a matter of faith. It is not a matter of so much God telling us that we see it by sight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And it is a tendency that we have as human beings to want to walk by sight. God, though, calls us to walk by faith. And as we do, God is telling us that we need to consider the evidence. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, Gary, thank you for reading this morning, Psalm 8. I love this chapter. And he said there, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" You notice that David said, "When I consider your heavens." So it is by making an intelligent looking and examining the evidence that is here in the universe that we're able to come to the conclusion there is a God, there is a creator, there is a designer who created the universe that we live in. Not only did he create the universe, but he spoke to us. He communicated to us. Because the Bible is based on the fact that God has made a communication or a revelation of His will made known to us. And the book of Hebrews begins in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It said, God, who spoke by times past to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So the Bible is the result of God speaking to us and communicating with us. Not only do we see the evidence that God is the Creator in the world and the universe around us, but we have from God His Word, where He is communicating and speaking with us and revealing and making known His will. So the Bible tells us that we are to consider the evidence and make an intelligent choice based upon that. Now, as we look at the universe, and we can do so with the use of telescopes, we have in our technology that we now have available to us, we do have powerful telescopes that we can look and take photos of the universe around us. And we are part of the galaxy known as the Milky Way. Scientists have been able to take photographs of the Milky Way. And this is a photograph that you're looking at here. And the circle indicates where Earth is in the Milky Way, where it is located. So we're surrounded. We're surrounded by a spiral galaxy. We're part of a spiral galaxy, and our sun, which is a part of the solar system that we are part of, in which there are 9 or 10 planets that are circling the sun, our sun is a powerful star. But in the Milky Way galaxy, there are stars that are at least 100 times larger than our sun. There are also stars in our galaxy that are 100 times smaller than our sun. But our sun is very powerful and is able to provide heat, and the gravitational force, the planets revolve around the sun, and that is very important to our life. If you picture on a football field, the sun sitting on the goal line, the size of a basketball, then our planet, the Earth, is located on the 30-yard line, and it is the size of a BB. So that gives us some idea of the size of the solar system, but we are told that in our Milky Way, there are 100 million stars, at least, like our sun, and that it would take, traveling at the speed of light, 100,000 years to cross from one end of the Milky Way to the other. We're also told by astronomers today that there are perhaps 100 billion galaxies other than the Milky Way that make up the universe. The nearest of which is Andromeda or Magellan galaxies, that would take the speed of light traveling at least about 150 million years to reach those galaxies. So we are in a huge universe that God has created. And many of them are in spiral formation. Spiral formation. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. God is a God of order, and God has put His fingerprints on His universe. It's interesting, the spiral formation of the galaxy. And also, what happens when we have a hurricane? It is a spiral. Sometimes when I was growing up in West Texas, we had little whirlwinds that would come across the fields. And then we would sometimes have powerful tornadoes that could be very destructive. But in the form of spirals, whenever the water goes down the drain, it goes down as a spiral. Whenever you see the seashells down at the beach, many of them are in the spiral formation. Interesting how God has put His stamp on so many things throughout the universe that He created, and a consistency of God's creation. Why is it always that way? Well, we are still learning. We don't really know all the answers to those things. But here we are in the solar system that we do know, and we're part of the Milky Way, and it's part of the vast universe. Did it all happen by accident? That's the question. Or was there a designer who designed the universe? So the Bible simply says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it gives us the option to examine the evidence and to make a choice to believe or to not believe in the existence of God. Is it smart to not believe in God? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So, to me, it is smart, it is more reasonable, it makes sense to believe in the existence of God. But you know that faith is not just deciding in your mind that there is a God. Let me give you an example, an illustration to think about, that if you are out here at SeaTac Airport and you look out the window and there is a Boeing Dreamliner 787 parked outside the window, and there are people getting off the plane. Now, you have never seen a plane before. You have never ridden on a plane before. But as the people come in, you learn that they are coming from Australia. They have come as a result of a 16-hour flight from Melbourne, Australia. And they said, you should do it. You should go on the plane. It's a wonderful trip. And so you find that there are a lot of passengers that are lined up. They are getting ready to go on the plane. And you notice that the pilot and his crew come walking by in their uniforms. Now, the pilot, he has gone to school and he has studied aviation. He has learned the mechanics of flying. He understands. He's gone through hundreds of hours of learning how to fly the plane. He understands that when the plane takes off, it takes off on a vector that has a radar system to guide him across the ocean. He understands the mechanics of flight, why the plane lifts off the ground, and all the things that work together. Those other people that are getting on the plane do not have that kind of knowledge, but they have flown many times before. They're very experienced getting on the airplane, traveling across to the other side. You, on the other hand, have never been on a plane before, but because that one person spoke to you and they said, it is such a wonderful experience, you should try it, you decide to buy a ticket and get on the plane. Now, what I'm saying is that you're exercising faith to get on the airplane. But your faith is not a rational faith. It's an emotional faith. It's a faith that's based largely on the testimony of that one person. The other passengers, on the other hand, they have a rational faith. They have done it many times. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of evidence. And the pilot and the crew, they absolutely know what they are doing. But you know, when you get on the plane, you don't see the pilot. You are escorted down the aisle and you are shown to your seat and you get in and strap the seatbelt. Well, what I'm suggesting to you is there are many Christians today that are like that passenger getting on the plane for the first time. They haven't really looked at the evidence. They haven't studied the evidence. They are believing because their mom and dad believed, or some other person. But it wasn't really an intelligent examination of the evidence. What I believe God wants us to do is to make an intelligent examination of the evidence. And on the basis of that, we're willing to step on the plane confidently, knowing that we have faith in God, and we're willing to go on there and see that plane to its journey through life, because we are convinced that God exists and that He is true. And we're willing to believe His Word and live by faith. Well, we're told in Romans 1 and verse 20, he said, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Coming to have faith is a lot like learning to swim, because a person gets in the water and they may not fully understand that the water is able to buoy up the body and you're able to stay afloat. But when a person begins to learn to swim, they tiptoe out in the water very slowly. And it's only after quite a bit of practice and that they're willing to actually step out into the deep water and actually support themselves and learn to swim. We are learning to live by faith as we grow up. As we examine the evidence, we're able to look at it and be able to see, I believe that God created the universe. It makes absolutely perfect sense. You know, as we look at the earth in space, we see that there are clouds surrounding the earth. That those clouds are there for a reason. The earth is surrounded by atmosphere. And those form a protective garment, a protective barrier around the earth. One reason that we are able to go outside and not have skin cancers all over our bodies is because God has created the environment. He has created the clouds. He has created the atmosphere. The reason that we are not destroyed by incoming falling stars and asteroids is because the atmosphere of the earth, as they approach, it burns most of them up. And we are not destroyed. The earth is in space, and we see that as we look at the earth from space, it is called the blue planet because it is surrounded about 70% of it by water. And water is a very stable substance that the temperature doesn't rise or fall very much. The fact that we have water on the earth in such large amounts is how the earth is so stable. And the earth rotates, therefore we do not have the earth facing the sun all the time. Otherwise we would burn up. If we were on the dark side all the time, we would freeze. The earth is tilted at a certain angle so that all of the seasons of the year take place. Well, did it all happen by accident? No. I don't believe that at all, and I don't believe you do either. Was there a designer of the watch? Was there a designer of the house that you live in? Or did it just happen on its own, with everything that goes together to make it so nice a place for you to live? Well, in Hebrews 3 and verse 4, he says, "For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." And in Job 38 and verse 4, he said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fashioned, or who laid its cornerstone?" God said, "Look at the universe, look at what I have made, and make an intelligent choice that I am the creator, that I am the designer of the universe." We walk by faith, not by sight. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're able to examine the evidence and on the basis of that decide, make an intelligent choice to live by faith in God. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. They were not made of things which are visible. It's interesting that in your body, there are only about 12 elements that make up your body. Carbon and hydrogen and other elements. And we can take those elements and probably put them in a pile here. Why then are you an intelligent person that has a brain? Do you realize what an amazing thing that is, that you are a person who is alive, who is able to have a personality, who is able to make choices of your own? There is something more than just those 12 elements that make up you as a person. You are more than the sum total of those elements. And that is why science cannot account for the existence of God through normal, ordinary physical measurements that it proceeds on the basis of. So he says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I would like to go on and explain more because there are so many more evidences of God, but our time is up this morning, and I want to put it to each one of you on the basis of the evidence that we've discussed today. Do you believe that it is more reasonable to believe in the existence of God or to not believe in the existence of God? Now, He either exists or He doesn't exist. And we each have to make a decision. We each have to decide. There is much more evidence to examine, believe me. I'm not even scratching the surface. But look at the evidence, examine the evidence, and on the basis of that, you make your choice to either believe or not believe in the existence of God. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song if there are those today that need to respond to Jesus Christ and come to Him for the forgiveness of your sins, the repenting of your sins, and confessing your faith in Jesus, and desiring to be baptized into Christ as He teaches. Then we're going to stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected, Trust and Obey. We invite you to come.